For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast.
Well, we're really coming down the chute now, aren't we? I have a chance to kind of catch my breath today after yesterday was just a harrowing adventure in children and doctor appointments. And now I kind of like reopened my eyes. And I know that I only felt like my physical being here kind of missed one day. Like I was there yesterday, but I wasn't there yesterday. And now I'm back. And it's crazy to think that we have this short card tonight. Short medium. We've got mega game tomorrow, off Saturday, and mega game again on Sunday. And that's it. That's the frickin' NBA regular season, just done. By the way, you guys should know, I apparently said the word frickin' in yesterday's podcast, and my kid, the one who was home from school yesterday with strep throat, came in from one room over after the show ended and was like, "Dad, you said a bad word on that show." And I was like, "I don't think I did. I try to keep these shows pretty damn clean." He's like, "You said F-R-I." And I was like, "Did I say frickin'?" He's like, "Yeah, you did." I was like, "Well, son, that's what grown-ups say when we don't want to swear, but you still can't say it. I mean, maybe you could. No one really cares that much." Anyway, here's what happened yesterday. We got time because we got, what, an 8-game card to recap? We're so close to the offseason now. I'm starting to channel offseason Dan. Offseason Dan, for those of you that don't know, does not get straight down to business. In-season Dan gets straight down to business because there's usually so many basketball things that I want to talk about, and I don't want to blow 4 or 5 minutes on some random BS, which then turns like a 45-minute pod into a 50-minute pod. Off-season time, every show is about 22 to 28 minutes. Sometimes we squeeze up into the 30s. So if I want to talk about crap for 5 minutes, I just do it. Anyway, hello, everyone. This is Fantasy NBA Today, coming down the chute. SportsEthos.com presentation. I'm your host, Dan Vespers. Thanks, as always, for tuning in all season long. If there is even one new listener or viewer out there, I tip my cap to you. I say welcome. And also, I say sorry, because you're coming in at a time when I just wax on about whatever I want to talk about. And if you're coming in and you're like, "Dan, I want brass tacks right now," you're probably not going to get the brassest of tacks. We still got stuff to talk about. We're still going to review all the card. I'll even throw those on the screen just so you guys know that it's coming. But I feel like I need you guys to know what my yesterday was like. Maybe I'll try to remember to do it in the middle of the show. Let's talk yesterday's card real quick here. Not that quick. Regular speed. Memphis, losers at Cleveland. But you know who wasn't a loser in this game? Grizzlies replacement player fantasy values. Friends, we're finally there. Now, with the small caveat that Jordan Goodwin sat this one out, and I believe from looking at the numbers, following all the various Twitters out there, I believe that Jordan Goodwin has the eligibility to play in the Grizzlies' final two ball games, which is the Lakers tomorrow, and then the Nuggets on the last day of the regular season. So assume, for fantasy's argument's sake, that Jordan Goodwin is back for their last two. He parachutes in. He takes Lamar Stevens' spot, most likely in that starting lineup. Maybe takes Jake LaRavia's spot. Hard to know. But the good news is that the Grizzlies have now eliminated all relevant humans from their lineup. And so you've got full replacement player max minute stuff going on. This is what you want to know. This is what you want to see. Replacement players typically don't have the world's greatest fantasy value. By and large, they often struggle with it. But one thing that we've talked about on this show is that if you get somebody up around 40 minutes a ball game, it kind of doesn't matter how good their fantasy value is. They're probably still going to have some. And that's what you saw in this ball game, and it's what you've seen in the Grizzlies' last two or three ball games in a row now. Scottie Pippen Jr., for instance, he's playing 35, 36 minutes a night. Okay, maybe he doesn't have the most robust fantasy line on planet Earth, but I honestly don't care. Because with the minutes as high as they are, he's doing enough. Looking at the last couple of ball games for Scottie Pippen Jr., he's at 20, you can go back four ball games if you want, 29, 30, 31, and 36 minutes as basically full-time starter now. Over that span, for one, he has 12 steals in those four ball games, so he's averaging three a ball game. He does have two blocks, so half a block a game. He's averaging just under six assists a game, about four and change rebounds. And he's scoring 16, 24, 14, 18, 40, 54, 72 divided by four is what, 18? I think that puts him on 18 points a game. And almost 2 3-pointers. And good field goal or free throw percent. Field goal is going to fluctuate, but I sort of don't care. And the thing is, this dude is still very available across most league types. He's only up to 13% rostered right now, and it seems nuts because there's really nobody coming for this job for the final two games. And you could have basically gotten the last three or four games if, you know, we'd acted fast enough. And I think we did at the beginning of this week said, yeah, get in on him for the back-to-back. He shot horribly in the first half of it, but who cares? He had 14, 7, and 5 with 5 defensive stats in that one. He's cruising right now, and he's putting up stuff in every statistical category. Yeah, I wish the turnovers was lower than like 3.5, but, you know, you do what you got to do. On top of Scottie Pippen Jr., I also mentioned that Jordan Goodwin is someone I would like, and I do for their last two ball games. Trey Jameson, I mentioned as someone that I thought was going to be a bit iffy. He's not a great field goal percent center. He rebounds a bit. He did have 4 blocks in this game, which is wholly unrepeatable. But, you know, if you wanted to sort of flash in the pan it on him for blocks, I still don't think that I would do it. G.G. Jackson, no. He's just, it's all scoring. It's too much tied up in scoring. And Lamar Stevens, no, because I think Goodwin's going to take his spot. And then Jake Laravia is the other one who had 8 3-pointers. We've kind of seen him get lava hot a couple of times. It happened against the Lakers, whatever it was, 2 3 weeks ago. But in between, there kind of hasn't really been enough. Let's see here. Let's go to the Jake Laravia game log just to make sure that this all makes sense. So he sat out a couple of ball games with an ankle tweak. Yeah, I mean, he was brutal before that. He'll get you some steals, couple of rebounds, free throw percent is okay, but the field goal percent has been awful. So no, pass on Laravia. So give me Scottie Pippen Jr. and give me Jordan Goodwin, and that's probably about as far as I go with the Grizzlies unless you're sort of category hunting, and we've talked about that before. Jackson, GG would give you points. Jameson would give you some rebounds, but I feel like there's a better option for rebounds out there anyway. Cavs had the starting five that they wanted in this ballgame. Donovan Mitchell, Evan Mobley, Jared Allen, Darius Garland, Max Strus. I think you can start all five of those guys in most formats. Strus is the only one that's kind of borderline, and his legs are just a bit more underneath him right now, so I would lean towards yes in most formats, but if you don't need... Well, that's the thing. Like with Strus, okay, he's not going to blow the roof off the building in scoring, but he's going to get you a couple of threes. He's going to get you a few rebounds, usually a couple of assists, not as many in this ball game. And he just plays enough minutes most nights in, you know, slightly more competitive ball games where he'll get a few assists, steals, and blocks. Well, Trae Young came back for the Hawks. We'll start on the lower half of that box score, but they lost. Oops. No DeJounte Murray. I think they probably thought they could win this game without him. And at the same time, it kind of doesn't matter because the Hawks are a game and a half back of the Bulls. I mean, maybe they could have, if they played even anything close to acceptable, they probably could have stolen home court in the first elimination game. Problem, of course, is that the Hawks are terrible. Like, the 10th seed in the West is 9 games over .500. And the 10th seed in the East is 8 games under .500. That's crazy. What did I just say? 8.5 game separation on the 10 seeds in the two conferences? Like, the West is so ridiculously deep. The top 11 are all good teams. And the Grizzlies will be good next year because they'll be healthier. You got 12, like, legitimately good teams in the Western Conference. And you've got 8 in the East. And then even on top of that, you just, like, the... Ah, whatever. We had this... Remember at the beginning of the season, it was like, oh, maybe the East is going to be good enough this year. No. No. West is still thumping him. Anyway, as far as the Hawks go, so Trae Young came back. He was on a pretty strict minutes cap. He did have a double-double in 21 minutes, but, you know, you can play him because he's Trae Young. Presumably, you can go Trae Young. You can go DeJounte Murray when he's back. If Jalen Johnson plays, you would go his route also. There was no DeAndre Hunter in this game either, so Vit Krejci had 19 points. I mean, this was a real mess of a game. Dump it. Dump the box on the Atlanta side. Don't dump the box on the Charlotte side, though, because they continue to roll with Grant Williams as center. He was in foul trouble in this game, 5 fouls in 26.5 minutes. Still had a pretty good fantasy line. So give me Grant Williams, give me Brandon Miller, give me Miles Bridges as the three guys you can start in basically any format. Trey Mann had a 7-steal game, which very much floated his value. He's more of a rebounds, assists, steals kind of low-end play for the most part. And Vasilij Micic has cooled substantially. He'll still get you probably 4 to 10 assists somewhere in that very wide window. But he and Trey Mann, I still don't have full faith, are 9-cat guys. But again, we're talking about, you know, 2-3 games for most teams at this point. Just 2 left for Charlotte. So you don't really need a full-time 9-cat guy. As we rumble along, the Mavericks really ending their season strong. They've won 5 games in a row. They're up to 50 wins now and just a game back of the Clippers for perhaps grabbing home court in the first round of the playoffs. Those teams are basically locked into playing each other right now. Again, Clippers limping into it. Mavericks freight training their way into that first-round playoff battle. Basketball Monster has Kyrie Irving, Luka Doncic listed as doubtful for Dallas's next ball game. They've got Detroit. It doesn't matter. Mavs are 2.5 games up on the Pels with 2 games to go. So, again, worst, I think. I guess they could tie. I'm supposing Mavericks have the tiebreaker there. I admit I don't know that off the top of my head. But they're basically locked in where they are. And if either of the superstars sits, you can get a Tim Hardaway Jr. fill-in game. P.J. Washington goes from being kind of borderline to a yes. And those are your 2 changes there. The Heat apparently need Terry Rozier more than we realize. No, they're just not that good. They went through a nice run in kind of the middle of the year, but now they've settled back into that just like a little bit better than average kind of team. They'll be fine, and we'll see how if they can crank it up for the playoffs again. Regular season just doesn't mean anything to Miami. No, I'm not playing Caleb Martin as a fill-in for Terry Rozier. It's too risky. Just go Hero, Butler, and Bam. Call it a day. Bam was awful. Man, Mavericks just pick centers apart. It's brutal trying to chase Luka and then Kyrie all game long. They spread you out, and then they wax you. Toronto lost in a game that was more competitive than it should have been. Toronto had Emmanuel Quickley and a bunch of guys that you probably just heard of a week ago. I would assume that Toronto has Gary Trent, RJ Barrett, Kelly Olynyk back for one of their next couple of ball games, but I guess we don't really know for sure. They play tomorrow. They play Sunday. It's both games in Miami. Nothing really for those guys to prove necessarily. So I don't know for a fact that the regulars will be back, but man, might as well. Might as well, I say. What difference is it going to make? Raptors are 25 and 55. They're 5 games better than the Hornets. and they're, you know, 7-8 games worse than the Raptors. So they're not going anywhere in the Eastern Conference. And then if you look at the West, the Grizzlies are the only team close in terms of, like, could the Raptors accidentally get better than the Grizzlies' lottery odds? Unlikely. They can very much play hard for one of those two games and not worry about it. So maybe you see the regulars in the first one. If they lose it, Raptors are locked into whatever I said that was, 8th worst record? No. 6th worst record in the NBA. So then they could play their guys and not have to worry about it. So that's what we hope is going to happen. Meantime, with everybody out, there still wasn't another guy who put up fantasy value. And don't get me started on Grady Dick. 24.6 threes is fine, but he literally did nothing else. Malik Williams had 7-14, but only 24 minutes, so that's not enough for me to say, yes, I trust. So basically, you went Emmanuel quickly in this game. And then you'll play Trent and Olynyk and 9-cat if they're back for the next one. And RJ Barrett in points leagues if he's back for the next one.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We've been waiting for Brooklyn to shut some people down for a while, and it might finally be happening. But there's still this sort of like partial shutdown thing that happens because Mikal Bridges doesn't want to break his consecutive game streak. So he still played half of this one. Cam Johnson got 27 bench minutes here, and they're trying some stuff. Cam Thomas still played 37 minutes. Nick Claxton still played 33 minutes. Dennis Schroeder still played 36. So we're not all the way there. And those of you that were trying to ram the square peg that was Trenton Watford through the round hole that was consistent fantasy value got a rude awakening lately. Keep an eye on Noah Clowney. He had a 7-block game here, which is, well, you can't ignore it. That's for damn sure. But what I don't know is if the Nets are going to have any kind of lineup consistency for their next couple of ball games. So I don't think I'm racing out to pick him up. I think if this is the roster they're trotting out, you probably bench Mikal Bridges because I don't think he's playing full games right now. Could Nick Claxton really not get a rest game here down the street? All right, I guess you play Dennis Schroeder, you play Claxton until it looks like they're going to get any kind of minute shaving. And then, you know, watch Noah Clowney at the very least for the next one. See what they've got. I don't know. Spurs sat Wemby and then this game ended fast. Yowza. Trey Jones still had a serviceable fantasy game. Zach Collins was decent in his Wemby fill-in job. And everybody else was absolutely horrendous, including friend of the pod, Julianne Champagny, who had 5-3 with a steal and a block but couldn't shoot. I'd stick with him. And, you know, if the game was more competitive, all these guys would have had another 8 or 9 minutes. So give me Trey Jones, give me Wemby, give me Champagny. And then if Wemby sits another one, you can go Collins, and you could probably still go Champagny and hope that the game is more competitive. There's a little bit of a wing and a prayer there. Josh Giddey stuffed it in my face. I called his fantasy game trash with the team is healthy, and he was like, screw you, Dan, I'm going to get a double-double. All right, well done, Josh. Well, you're still terrible on the whole season, and I'm not going to change the valuation there. This team is Shea, it's Jalen Williams, and it's Chet Holmgren. Chet played 15 minutes in the game that ended in less than a half of basketball. This was an exhibition. Milwaukee, the new look Milwaukee Bucks, took care of the Orlando Magic. We can do the Magic fast. Cole Anthony had 23 off the bench. I don't care. Markelle Fultz played 22 minutes. I don't care. Jalen Suggs playing well. Good. Keep him going. Paolo, points league. Franz when he comes back. If he comes back. Did he get ruled out for the rest of the regular? No, I don't think they officially did that yet. Jonathan Isaac minutes tipped back down to 13 again, though. And this is the... I can't think of a clean word to use. My brain keeps wanting to go to one specific word, and I don't want to say it. This is basically... Let me just we'll rewind the tape and try that sentence again. This is why you just can't start Jonathan Isaac. As much as I want to, and as much as I do have him on a roto bench or two, I don't have the confidence to throw him into a lineup because this could happen. 13 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever it was. if there was some sort of way, if we could just like put one question to the Magic coaching staff, hey, is Isaac going to get 20 minutes tonight? But we can't. Alas, alack. So we sit on our thumbs and we wait. As far as the Bucks go, Giannis has been ruled out for the rest of the regular season. We knew Middleton was going to miss this one on the back-to-back, meaning a lot of Bobby Portis. No surprise there. He took 18 shots and had a very efficient and solid ball game. More Brook Lopez. He looked good. 10-4-4, a steal and three blocks. More Dame. This is going to be more like Portland Dame. And Patrick Beverley, who has jumped quickly here. Took a while for them to get there, but has jumped over Malik Beasley for that last starting spot. And we all know that when Patrick Beverley is healthy, which is rarely these days because he's old, he puts up some serious fantasy lines from that guard spot. He's a rebounding guard who gets steals and often blocks, shoots the three, not great, but okay. Typically doesn't overdo it in the offensive side, so the bad percentages don't really impact things all that much. And he's got some juice right now because they got a couple games left in the regular season. He's sort of in prove-it mode to keep that. He wants that starting job. They've got a game at OKC. They've got a game at Orlando the rest of the way. And I think, let's pivot back over here. I think the Bucks, they've got a shot to lock in that two seed with, I think, one more win. So they're going to be going for it here with or without Giannis. And they're going to be pretty competitive ball games coming up because the Knicks would like to stay in front of the Cavaliers if at all possible and or the Magic. And then Orlando is trying to make sure they don't fall into the play-in, which is, yes, still a possibility because everybody's all hyper-bunched in the Eastern Conference. So I'm in on it. And you guys saw he was the thumbnail for yesterday's podcast. I'm in on Patrick Beverley these last couple of ball games. I've been a big Pat Bev nine-cat fantasy fan for a long time. Mostly as a punt points play, but this team's so thin from on a game-to-game basis right now, especially with no Giannis, that he might not even be punt points. You might get double-digit scoring. You know, 10 points is not a punt number. It's not good, but it would get it done. So have at it, Pat Bev. Enjoy your week O fame. Denver beat Minnesota. This kind of felt like Denver saying, yeah, not there yet, Wolves. They didn't have to do it, although the Nuggets would love some home court throughout the playoffs. They're 32-18 at home. Wolves are 37-14 at home. Thunder are 35-16 at home. Not surprisingly, those are the three best home records in the Western Conference, the three teams that are battling for the one seed. Big difference in the three? Well, for one, the Wolves are 11 games over 500 on the road. So I guess you could argue maybe they need it the least. Defense translates, as they say. It's when you're a team that's built a little bit more on defense, you're probably going to have the slightly better road record, and that's what the Wolves are, but it's not by much. And so the Nuggets and the Thunder, I think these games really mean a lot to them. And so here Denver was like, all right, Wolves, see if you can handle us. I was watching Twitter last night, because again, I was dealing with the situation at home. And there was a tweet that went out that was like, man, if you make a mistake to Denver in the fourth quarter, they'll just pop you right in the mouth every time. And as somebody who, you guys know, I'm a very pragmatic Laker fan. I don't go out of my way to draft Lakers in fantasy or anything like that. I thought Anthony Davis was going to be a nice deal this year, and he was. I thought LeBron wasn't, and he turned out to be a pretty damn good fantasy play this year. Number 24. Four and missed a few ball games, but not an overwhelming number. That's LeBron, by the way. Anthony Davis is number three, and he's missed just less than a handful here until Kyle Anderson hit him in the face. Not the point. Point is, I saw that tweet, and as a Laker fan, my heart was just like, we feel you, Minnesota people, right now. We feel you. Because every game between the Lakers and the Nuggets is the same. It's close, it's close, it's close, and then with 4 minutes left in the game, Lakers miss two shots in a row. Nuggets hit back-to-back threes or a three and a layup or whatever it is. And it's just like, oh, you're 2-point deficit? Yeah, you're down seven now. Sorry. Oh, you're up by one? Now you're down eight in, you know, three possessions later. And that's basically what they did to the Wolves yesterday. Nuggets, they just hang and they hang and they hang and they make sure that they're neck and neck and then they beat you. Last 4 minutes of a game, they just beat you. If they're locked in on the ball game, which I think we can safely say they were. Naz Reid rough shooting game, but he's a start, as is Mike Conley, Rudy Gobert, and Anthony Edwards. Easy call on the Minnesota side. As I told you guys a few times, I did not have full confidence in Kyle Anderson this year, and now we've kind of seen why. Peyton Watson had 6 blocks off the bench for the Nuggets. He doesn't play enough to start, especially not when the team is healthy. But they do know they have a solid backup waiting in the wings should anything happen to a starter or if they have to do anything financially going forward. Meanwhile, Nikola Jokic just owned this ball game, and nothing ever really changes for the Nuggets on the fantasy side. But shout out to Peyton Watson for having a nice 6-block ball game. Phoenix took care of the zombie Clippers in this one. Royce O'Neal started over Grayson Allen. I wouldn't make the immediate flip there. I know that they liked what they were getting in this one. I think I'd like to see this. I'm not overreacting, basically, is what I'm saying. But if you wanted to bench either both of those guys even, but basically you're playing whatever dude is starting in that fifth pocket for this Phoenix team. Because the 5 starters are always having, like, they play high scoring games and the fifth guy's open all the time forever. So, neato. For the Clippers, Bones Highland with everybody resting or hurt. Kawhi Leonard hurt, Harden resting, PG resting, Zubats, I believe, resting. So, you got Mason Plumlee night, which is a little surprising that you didn't see more Daniel Tice. Last time Zoo was out, there was no clear winner between those two guys. So no, don't go down that path. And then look, if all 3 starters are cooked. Oh, by the way, Norman Powell also sat out because I was looking at that. Remember, we were talking about that game yesterday. I was like, it's got to be Norman Powell, doesn't it? Well, then he sat it out too. So Clippers went full rest mode in this one, meaning like this is one of those times where you probably could have just tried starting every starter, but Terrence Mann got hurt early and didn't come back, so that kind of ruined that one. Brandon Boston played 40 bench minutes and didn't see that one coming. Amir Coffey started, played 37. I mean, again, you're rolling the dice with these guys because you don't really know what their fantasy game is like. Bones, at least you were like, this dude's going to take 20 shots at least. And he took 29. I wasn't at my computer when all this information was released to the public, but yeah, because we saw it a couple weeks ago. I'm remembering one of my fantasy matchups where I picked up Bones and I think he had like a 20.3 steal pop out game. And that was with, I think, Paul George still playing, right? Wasn't that just with Harden and Kawhi out? I forget. In any event, when 2 stars are down for the Clippers, Bones tends to play. And this one, 3 stars and 2 feature role players were also out. So ended up being a relatively easy call. And now I feel like, since we've gotten to the end of the recap part, I can just... My yesterday was nuts. My yesterday was crazy. So, this is not me asking for your pity or anything like that. I just wanted you guys to know why my show was such a sprint yesterday afternoon. Woke up in the morning. If we can even call it that. My older son was up from like 1 to 4 in the morning the previous night, not this most recent night, but the one before it, saying that he was having trouble swallowing. And we're like, all right, well, this isn't going to be good. And so we gave him some Tylenol in the middle of the night, kind of waited till that kicked in. He felt a little better, but he couldn't fall back asleep. And then he was worried. So that was brutal. And we're all exhausted. And we're getting up and we're getting him ready for school. Like maybe something could happen. He was like, I really want to go because they had a field trip to the Natural History Museum yesterday and couldn't go on it. So I took my older son to the pediatrician at 8 a.m., basically, as soon as they opened. And the strep test was rapid. It was a rapid strep test. It was positive very quickly. And the pediatrician was like, look, it seems like a lot of pharmacies are out of the antibiotic that I want to put him on. So I'm going to give them a sort of a different prescription, like a different dose, and hopefully that'll get it done. So then we drove over to the pharmacy. Now it's like kind of approaching 9 o'clock, and they told me they didn't have it. And they told me there was another one like 7 miles away, which for those of you in Los Angeles, 7 miles in morning rush hour traffic, that's a 40-minute drive. So I get in the car, and I'm starting that direction, and I call my wife, who's a doctor, and she checked the pharmacy at the hospital where she works. It was a very large one, and they didn't have it. So now We're calling back to the kid's pediatrician to say, look, nobody has it in Los Angeles. We need something different, or like, can you guys help us with this? But it's all set up through an answering service. And they're like, well, they'll get back to you within 24 hours. I'm like, yeah, that's not going to work. I can't. I'm not going to make my kids sit with strep throat untreated for 24 hours.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
By the way, while I'm talking about this, Jalen Johnson, the report is that he's going to get reevaluated in 3 weeks. And Onyeka Okongwu is being reevaluated in 4 weeks. So the Hawks, they're cooked, man. They're going to lose one of those two play-in games. Those guys are not playing anymore. So you can drop Jalen Johnson. You can drop Onyeka Okongwu if you were still sitting on him for any reason. That news from Mark Spears that just popped up on the feed. Oh, sorry. That came out about 15 minutes ago first. My bad, dog. That was already out there. So, yeah, those guys are done. So then we started to drive back to the pediatrician. I was like, well, if I can't get on my phone, we're driving back there. We're going to loop back around. And right before we got there, we got a message back from the pediatrician that was like, I changed it. Okay, it's a different antibiotic. You can go back to the same pharmacy again. So now we loop back from the pediatrician's office to the same pharmacy we were at some 45 minutes earlier after driving around West Los Angeles. And they did finally get us the prescription at that point. But now it's like 11 o'clock. This whole process has taken 3 hours. Well, I give my kid the dose of an antibiotic on the curb in front of a CVS because we didn't want to wait any longer. And you can go back to school technically 18 hours after you start your antibiotics for strep. And I'm thinking if this stuff works as fast as I remember it working, he'll feel better by tomorrow, which is now today. Well, one thing I forgot is that my kid hadn't had any appetite. He hadn't been able to swallow for like the last 9-10 hours. And an antibiotic on an empty stomach isn't a great idea. So then we had like an hour or and a half of intense stomach cramps for my child. And suddenly now it's like 1 p.m. and I'm just finally looking at my computer for the first time. So that's why yesterday's show was in the afternoon. That's why it was super fast. And the other part of it was the pediatrician was like, has his younger brother had any symptoms? And we're like, no, I mean, he's been like a little bit snuffly, but every kid is forever. They're always just leaking boogers when they're that age. And she's like, nah, go get him, bring him in. Okay, so now I do my show. My older son and I, who finally is now the stomach cramp have stopped and he's had a couple of Ritz crackers, we drive to the preschool where my younger son is, pick him up, go back to the pediatrician's office. He tests positive, asymptomatic positive, and I'm getting ready to go back to the same freaking pharmacy when the doc is like, look, it's the same medicine. Just here, I'll give you a different dose. Give your younger son some from the first bottle. I'll call in a prescription for your younger son. You can go get that tomorrow, which will basically serve like a refill because they're both taking the same thing. And that is how my day was. I went to the same pediatrician's office basically three different times, the same pharmacy almost three different times, and I drove around West Los Angeles for probably 2 to 3 hours. And it sucked. But today, they're back at school. They're feeling great. Not the younger one, actually, never had any symptoms at all. He was always feeling great. But, you know, now he's on an antibiotic. And I got to do a real normal speed show. Timbo, I'm not ignoring you. I think you had a question for me yesterday. So I'll do one question at the end of the show. I need field goal percent, Timbo says. 3 points and blocks. Field goal percent, threes and blocks. That's going to be an interesting combo. You're basically looking for, like, Alex Caruso. Who do you think I should stream today out of Ananobi? Alex Caruso. Hey, that's one of the choices. Javonte Green, Herb Jones, or Trey Murphy. So your best combination of those three categories this season has been Alex Caruso. Herb Jones is possible to get you some blocks, more steals than blocks typically, and field goal percent is not great for Herb, but the threes are usually there. Threes will definitely be there for Trey Murphy, but the field goal percent is very up and down. And Ananobi is like kind of similar in my eye to Caruso in this one, where you might get all three. So I probably lean Caruso if he's in there. because this year he has been the best combination of those three categories. Frankly, among players in the NBA, he's been near the top of the board in those. Field goal percent, blocks, and threes. Now, you're going to get field goal percent and blocks from a lot of guys. You know, most of the big men out there are going to give you field goal percent and blocks, but not many are going to give you threes outside of, like, Chet Holmgren. He's an over 50% high blocks guy who also hits three-pointers. Porzingis, I mean, we're talking superstar-level guys. Miles Turner, Embiid, JJJ, those are the guys. Scottie Barnes, his field goal percent actually wasn't that great. Kevin Durant. But as you sort of trickle down into the guys that are not blocking all the shots, then you get to Caruso, who's at a block, 47% shooting, and 2 3-pointers a game. And that's kind of why that would roll in that direction. I'm trying to think, what's Herb at in field goal percent? He's at 50. Yeah, 0.8 blocks. I guess you could go Herb. Didn't realize his field goal percent was 2.5 points better than Caruso. Ananobi, 49%. Threes are good. Blocks are a little bit lower. Trey Murphy, half a block, low field goal percent. So only the threes there. Yeah, I mean, Herb as the other option there is intriguing. Pels play in Sacramento. Should be high octane. Bulls are in Detroit. That game should be over early, but also a lot of opportunities for blocks and easy buckets. I think I might go Caruso and hope for the extra block. He's the best blocks guy of those possibilities. All right, well, that's... I mean, you got some good choices at the very least. Again, news that broke, Jalen Johnson out through the rest of this regular season, as is Onyeka Okongwu. Those are the only things that broke. Franz Wagner, questionable. That just popped here about 15 seconds ago as well. All right, everybody, thanks for listening. Again, we are one weekday show until we get to next draft season, basically. But again, what is today, Thursday? Is it Thursday already? Yesterday really, truly just vanished into thin air for me. Tomorrow, Friday, we'll do our last week in review episode of this regular season. And then Monday, we launch right into season review. So please, if you're new, subscribe. I'd love to have you with us through the offseason. It's fun to just do 25 minutes of fantasy basketball nonsense, or just basketball nonsense. Monday through Friday, it's something for you guys to listen to on your drives. It's something for you to listen to on the toilet, whatever you want. Stick with me. Please, for the off-season, I know folks on iTunes, Spotify, it's a little easier to listen on those than it is to, like, live stream a YouTube cast through the off-season. And we will probably have a bunch of shows in the off-season that aren't live on YouTube. So if you follow on YouTube, make sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, whatever. If you're following on Twitter, go over, subscribe on one of those other feeds. I don't know. Again, like, if it's not going to be a live video show, it won't be live on Twitter either. So please, here as we're wrapping up the regular season, take a moment to go subscribe on a traditional podcast channel. Make sure you're downloading those bad boys. And also, please, I mentioned this the other day. The link is in the show description. If I helped you at any point this season, any point, please hit a like or some kind of engagement on the tweet that I sent out 3 days ago now. There's about 500 of you that have done it. I'm going to be reaching out to each one of you individually at some point during this offseason because I do have a small favor to ask. So please, I do beg of you, that would mean a lot because I do need your help continuing to grow these things, and that's going to be one way that we do it. All right, have a great one. I said Wednesday. I really think it's Wednesday in my brain. Yesterday did not happen. Have a great Thursday. I got there. I'm Dan Vespers for Fantasy NBA Today and SportsEthos.com. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Last regular season show of the year. Crazy.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.